Breakfast with Martin Fester.
Good morning to the Mayor of Tshwane, also provincial candidate for premiership, Mr. Solium Simanga. Always good to see you. How are you doing?
Good to see you. Good to see you. And good morning to the Jacaranda listeners. Beautiful day out there.
It is a stunning day. Good rain in the Pretoria area.
Oh, God. It really brought some havoc. And, you know, I must say that the team has been flat out trying to repair as many of the outages that came with the problems of the storms. We've dealt with quite a lot. There's still one or two areas that still needs to be looked at, but the team is, by the beginning we had over 2,000 cases that we needed to report to. And that talks to the integrity of our network in terms of electricity, in terms of our water, you know, infrastructure that is aged, as I told you before. And, you know, this thing of the cutting and patching of cables when they are stolen, it is actually really disturbed the integrity of the system in Tshwane. And it's something that we're working very, very hard to correct.
The water restrictions that were in place or were spoken about, I mean, the rains were heavy, but it's, you know, people shouldn't get too lax.
No, remember, majority of the water that we use is not coming from our city. It's coming from rainwater, which is coming from the Vaal sources and other sources. So that's where you get in your water. So if rainwater decide that you're going to be restricted, so it doesn't matter if you're having, you know, 100% rain in the city. The fact of the matter is where you get in your water will then be determined, or we will then determine how much water you get. So if rainwater decides that they're going to restrict or to close down valves,
you're gonna
do that. But unfortunately, at times they do that without informing us. And you find that now your reservoirs, because on the other end you've opened the sluice, on the other end you find that the valves have been opened and water is flowing out at the quicker rate than what the water is coming in, and you're sitting with a problem where you then get to lower levels, and then you need to restrict water you know, tighter, so that you are able to then build up again.
No, of course. You've got to be wise about it. Don't you love that way that I just get down to business? How are you? How's
by
your
the way, somebody,
family?
I was given the keys to a car. So I guess Jacaranda is so generous. They just give me a car when I step in. Says, well, we're giving a car away if you would love.
I'm trying to get rid of that car.
I hear so.
We can talk. Listen, the Plastic View disaster brought on a lot of questions and things. Obviously, firstly, dealing with the chaos that ensued.
Mm.
But then also got you talking. I know you tweeted, I think yesterday sometime, about immigration policies. Did it come out that most of the people that were affected in Plastic View were immigrants?
It started before that, Martin. It started when we went to Olive and Old Bosch. It started when we went to Mooiplaats.
Yeah.
Actually, mainly in Mooiplaats.
Yeah.
When we got to Mooiplaats, we did what we call shack marking.
Okay.
Now, when you do shack marking, you go to each and every shack that is in the area. Yeah. You are trying to find out who is in there, how many people are living in that particular space. You know, is anybody working, nobody working, and all of that. So that you can have some kind of an understanding of who lives in a particular area, so that when you begin to assist, you know how to assist.
What did you learn?
In Olive and Old Bosch, we found that there's quite a lot of people that are of, you know, who are not documented.
Okay.
In Plastic View, specifically, 85% of the people that are living in Plastic View don't have any kind of document.
85%.
And we're talking about Plastic View 1 and 2.
Oh.
And now, you're sitting with a conundrum.
Mm.
Here are people who are in your country. You're supposed to then, you know, from a humanitarian perspective, you're supposed to be assisting.
Yeah.
But I cannot build them houses without any kind of documentation. And the law doesn't allow me to do that in any way. So now you're having a developer who's ready to, you know, to go on site, who say, look, we've got approval to be on this piece of land and to develop this piece of land, which will include also, you know, housing, you know, for the people that are here. But then government cannot subsidize people who are not documented. So this is why we said
that's a problem, eh?
We then said, I wrote to Minister Kigaba and say, you need to come up here. You need to then say, are you going to come and assist these people in terms of getting them registered, or are you going to assist them with a relocation, or at least getting them back home so that they can then begin the process of applying to be in the country legally?
Yeah. So two massive challenges. Firstly, for the sake of the documented South Africans or documented immigrants, you need to clear that space for the locals.
I need to do that. And also, you're now sitting with a problem where your human rights lawyers then took us to court and said, you cannot remove these people from here.
Gosh, what a vicious circle. And then, of course, the other side of the challenge is to have better control coming in.
Is that
what you said to the minister?
That's what I said to the minister.
You need to sort this out.
You know, let me give you some shocking stats. 387,000Zimbabweans entered South Africa in 2017. We can only account for 23,000 of them. That is less than 10%. We had over 24 satellite platoons. I don't know what is the right term, but I would call them satellite platoons of the SANDF that were patrolling the 4,500 plus border line that we have, the land border line.
Sure.
We have less than half of that now, currently.
You see, and that's where the problem starts.
And then that's where is even the maintenance of even our fence? Because the fence is in our entitlements. This is why you have stock theft that is going out of control. Sure. This is why you have vehicles that are now transported through rivers, out of South Africa into Zimbabwe, into Mozambique.
It's a free flow. The control at the border is so bad that only last year more than 300,000 people made it in from one country.
Yeah,
undocumented.
Whereas you go into certain border posts, everybody can just waltz in and out of those border posts, So it's a problem. And Home Affairs and Foreign Affairs needs to step up on this. And we now need to also get the SANDF to check up, to do
Absolutely.
What needs to be done.
Absolutely.
We're now having a problem. I was talking to somebody at the National Prosecuting Authority. They cannot process or cannot deal with certain crimes that are committed in South Africa because don't have data on the people. You have fingerprints that you find, but those fingerprints cannot be linked to anybody.
Yeah, it's useless to you. That intel is useless to you. The mayor of Tshwane, Salim Simanga, on the show this morning, also a candidate for a premiership of the province. Just out of interest, what would Malusi Gigaba say to you if you call him and say to him, listen, there's an obvious problem with undocumented immigrants, and obviously local people are also getting very upset about it, and that's where xenophobic attacks, which is not the answer of course, breaks out. So it's a serious problem that we have to, what does he say to you? I mean, I'm getting to it, or
I'm hoping that we will get to have a face-to-face meeting very soon. I've only received an acknowledgement of my letter from Minister Gigaba, and I'm hoping that we will be able to sit face to face, not only with me. I think this needs a broader discussion. There's a report that is coming from the National Council of Provinces and also from the Gauteng Provincial Legislature that talks about the impact that undocumented migration leads into lack of or the compromised service delivery.
Of course.
So that the premier, I think, needs to be part of that conversation. The mayors of all, be it metros, be it B municipalities or C municipalities, needs to come together in Gauteng with the minister, and not only the minister of Home Affairs, but also the foreign minister, and also the South African Defence Force, and the head thereof, and sit down and say, how do we then begin to work together to make sure that we are able to then control this? And we are saying, and I've been picking this up, the South Africans are saying that they don't mind having people who are coming from outside of South Africa being here. But we now need to know who is in the country. Those people need to be here legally. They need to be documented. That's it.
Of course.
That's all the people are asking. And so you hear people saying, well, this might stoke xenophobic attacks. I said the ANC's failure to deal with this for a number of years is what is creating this fear that people are having.
Listen, very few of us can jump on a high moral horse for migrating towards this part of the world. Okay? Very, very, very few of us can take that moral high ground.
Can I?
But documented and legal migration, absolutely.
Can I tell you something quickly, Martin?
Yeah.
We are not saying that, you know, we don't want to welcome people that are coming from over, from outside of South Africa.
Yeah.
There's never a country or a city or a province that has ever succeeded anywhere in the world while it's internally focused. It's when you attract the best talents that is coming from outside that you're able to then, you know, grow your economy, grow your skill set within the countries when you're focusing on bringing the best of talents from
absolutely.
Out there. So if you're not going to be able to do that, you're going to fail. But then you need to make sure that people that are coming in legally.
Your system needs to be up to speed. Your border patrol needs to be up to speed. It's the same for any country. Listen, talking about neighbors, your coalition partners, the EFF, obviously they're having a big thing at 12 o'clock. They had to think about this VBS looming scandal. That's a lot. When they must have been in talks like every day, Sunday, Thursday, Saturday, to come up with something to say at 12 o'clock. Has that affected your relationship?
Not
because you're in coalition, obviously.
Yeah.
They
will fight with you if you ever said that we're in a coalition. They are voting with us from issue to issue. I think what is important, Martin, is that at a national level, that's where these conversations normally take place. If it affects, you know, the partnership at a national level. Mm-hmm. So I think Julius Musi, Tate Lukota, Tate Msiwa, Kenneth Mishwe, we'll have those conversations at a national level, and we'll then, you know, iron out whatever issues that might be there, and us at a local level will then have to implement whatever has been decided at a national level.
Your party suggested a lifestyle audit on Floyd Shivambu. Do you think that's the right thing to do?
Well, anybody who's implicated or where the suggestion of wrongdoing, I think, should be subjected to a lifestyle audit, irrespective of whether that you know, is coming from the, you know, the ANC, the DA, whatever. I think as public or officials, whenever there is any suspicion of any wrongdoing, we should all subject ourselves to a lifestyle audit.
Well, you've now seen what average car I drive, so my lifestyle audit is very mediocre. Liesl? You didn't even want to keep the car. He gave it back to me.
He's like, here's your key. Thanks. Thank
we
you.
We can swap keys.
Well, I can give you mine. I can give you mine. I don't mind giving you mine. It was hijacked anyway. And I found it. They found it. So.
Yeah, just for a salesman.
Okay.
You're the worst salesman I've okay, let's get to your questions. Most importantly this morning, let's see what's coming in for Mayor Msimanga this morning. Let's start with this one.
Morning, team and Sully. I just want to ask a question regarding the municipality of Tshwane. We live in Centurion and we are getting billed, for example, on the 1st of October with payment date due the 20th of October. I'd like to know how it can be expected for people to pay in the middle of the month when salaries are only paid on the last day of the working month. And if you pay later than 7 days, they bill you an extra 210 rand. How is that possible and how can it be resolved?
20th of the month.
No, I think that there should have been something wrong there. Your billing would be pretty much standard. What might happen is that the day in which your meter reading was done might have been maybe a week or so later, which then corrects itself the following month. Mm. So you will not be charged, for instance, for the following month, you will not be charged then for the full month. You will be charged for the remainder of the month in which the you know, the meters had been read. So you do have 7 days, you know, after that in which you can't make a payment. So I don't think that falls outside of the range. But also, most importantly, you can then see the difference in the following month once the payment is made.
Morning, Mr. Solly. My name is Marcel. I'd just like to know, what are you planning on doing regarding all these taxis that drive up one way, pick fights, drive like they want to, and Metro's doing absolutely nothing about it? What is your plan regarding that, regarding our safety on the roads?
By the way, there was a video that came out from this weekend, I think. Was it Carla, Liesl?
This weekend, yeah.
Another taxi going up the wrong way, and then a fight broke out. If you want to see that video, it's on our blog on jackaranfm.com. It seems to be common practice now. What
it is, and this is why we've met with the taxi associations in the city. They came to me and said, "You need to write off some of our tickets." And I said, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because, you know, the taxis have become a law unto themselves. You come here year in, year out, and say, we have outstanding tickets and therefore we cannot renew our licenses and so on and so forth. And therefore, you need to write off some of our tickets. And we said, well, unless the behavior begins to change, we're not going to be able to do that. So we're now engaging with the leadership. One of the things that I would want to do, and I would love to do that as a matter of urgency, is to have some of these guys retrained in terms of public transport. Operating a public transport. I think it's one of those things that needs to happen. In certain instances, like for instance around your mainland area where you have parking issues, and this is something that we've been taking up with the mainland management to say, you extended the mall, and part of the mall initially was that there was a taxi rank in the mall. You've taken that away. There's no alternative now. And now we're sitting with a problem where these people are now parking outside and causing havoc. Mm, as much as we can remove them, you remove them, but you cannot permanently have your short resources there, because we're already having to deal with very short resources when it comes to Metro Police. Now, you cannot have your Metro Police permanently stationed there. And so it becomes that particular problem. I know in the R80, we're still sitting with that particular problem as well, where sometimes the taxis in the morning will then be driving on the yellow lane in certain areas in Lynnwood where there will be counterflowing, going in the wrong direction. And those are some of the areas that I've asked the Chief of Metro Police to be paying serious attention to.
Your training is going to have to be pretty basic. If you see the cars coming from right in front of you, you're going the wrong way.
Yeah.
All right, quick phone call. Johan in Morleta Park. More Johan, we like it now.
G'day, yes. Morning, Martin and Mr. Mayor. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, sir?
Good, thank you. Mr. Mayor, my question is, or my request is, if we can put a speed bump speed bump in Rubenstein Street, especially between Wacker Street and Blowout Street. In the morning, we've got traffic down that Rubenstein, and when the taxis coming down in the opposite lane, but this time they are speeding down there 100 kilometers per hour. There were a couple of near misses where they actually almost struck my wife. They have actually struck a pedestrian before. So what we're actually asking is if we can just get speed bumps there, just to at least prevent them from speeding. I know it's not going to stop them from going down the opposite lane, but yeah, if we can just reduce the speed bumps in that area.
Rubenstein and Wacker.
Yes, it's Rubenstein Street, but it's between the road of Blauach and Wacker.
The Blauach?
Yes, okay. Blauach Street, yes.
Blauach Street. Solly's thinking I'm going to change that name. That's too hard to remember. Blauach Street and Wacker Street. Okay, cool. Thank you, Johan.
Thank you very much.
Listen, you can say what you want, but there's nothing that slows you down quite like a speed hump. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Not even the sight of the JMPD. So there's one for you so far this morning. I know she's typing out the computer. We'll take some more phone calls.
Good morning, Mayor. My name is Andrew. I'd like to know, when are we going to get lights at Bonnerboom area? The place is very, very dangerous, especially when it's raining. I mean, there is lots of accidents. Saturday evening, it was a chaos there. So please, can you speed up the process of putting the lights on?
All right, Andrew, thank you very much. We do have street lights and the traffic lights at that junction there, and that in particular area. The problem that we're still sitting with is that area is vulnerable to cable theft. And it's because of the groups that are staying. There's a bridge there close to the railway line, which seems to be, where these criminals are normally hiding. We've made some arrests, but obviously we're still struggling with the prosecution of these people. You make arrests today. It's not regarded as a big of a crime that, they will be kept in. So, I mean, in certain instances, I actually had to meet up with the cluster commander of that particular area and said, we've made arrest of the same two people three times.
And every time, just back on the street. They're back on the street.
Worse, the street, I stay around the same area. My street, three houses from my house, these guys came in and stole the copper taps and the meters, because it still uses those old meters. They stole some of the copper and some of the steel that is there. And my security personnel arrested them.
Yeah.
And I then called the commander, said, here they are, they're in the van now.
These are the guys that caused Andrew to feel unsafe.
Yes. And I have photos of them. Unfortunately, in South African law, you cannot even publish some of these photos. because if you publish them, then they will tell you you're jeopardizing a case. But these are the people that normally caught, yeah. that get caught in the act, but a day or two later, they're released again because you're told this is not a serious crime, this is regarded as petty crime, but the effect of it. I mean, Andrew's talking about an accident that is caused. Andrew's talking about people that are robbed. Now you can imagine the magnitude of these kind of things. And yeah, we seem to be treating it very lightly.
The Minister of Police needs to take this more seriously.
I think
is it a national
problem? We wrote to the minister to say our Metro Police needs to be now be given more power. And we now also, more than that, we now need to make sure that the dealing in copper and other material that seems to be taken away from our infrastructure needs to receive harsher sentence, because it's tampering with infrastructure of a municipality, which is in its own illegal.
Right, next question.
Martin and team, I just have a question for the mayor regarding around the University of Pretoria. So he's saying that there's a shortage of resources in the Pretoria area for Metro Police, but yet the Metro Police keep writing tickets for students who park around the campus, but we don't have any alternative parking.
I don't know about that.
It's easier.
I don't know about that. You know, those are operational matters. I need to find out about that particular incident. Part of what I know the Metro Police are doing in that particular area is also to make sure that their vehicles, because we've received complaints from the students who say most of their vehicles do get stolen. So this is part of why we do have visible policing there.
But now they're giving you tickets, you see.
If you're going to be obstructing traffic again.
But hang on now, there was also a problem with that Centurion Lake, and I suggested you make it a parking area. You see how the solutions keep coming in. So more parking for the students there.
It's Centurion,
that's too far.
It's Centurion.
All right, now listen, but you could look into that.
Yeah.
Maybe there's too hefty of a focus on the students' parking tickets, and maybe some of them rather go towards the Vulnerboom area, or like a redistribution of cops.
Well, as I said, I mean, I wouldn't know every day where the police are deployed, but I think it's something that can be looked at.
Thank you so much for that. Just writing it down. Beverly, last one here. We've run out of time again. It's amazing how quickly time flies. Beverly from Cullinan. Quick one there, Beverly. What's up?
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and Martin. Thanks for the time. I've been reporting potholes in front of our school for the past year. The last one I reported again was in April and nobody came out. And they keep on telling me that is the area that they will only see when there's time for it.
What area is that?
It's Cullinan. The Camille Doring and Oak Street. I've seen the messages with all the pictures. And I've got,
Beverly?
We've got the... Yes.
Where did you send that information to?
No, I send it now again, which is they can see on the WhatsApp. But I've got the reference number. They keep on giving me my own reference number since last year, October.
All right. If you can, do you have the reference number with you now?
Yes. It's
can you please give it to me?
908-963-963.
Okay, Beverly, can I ask that the producer take your details as well? I would like to get in touch with you after this.
Super. Yes. Thanks, Beverly.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. Have a nice day. Bye.
Well, listen, our time has run out again. Maybe not a bad thing, because I didn't even get... I wanted to ask you about our President Cyril Ramaphosa. He's taking a lot of heat.
Well, he's taking a whole lot of heat, but
the petrol price.
You know, he's been blamed, for the petrol price increase. He's been blamed for the tax, but nobody's giving him credit when Bafana for the final time scored six goals. You know, so we've never had that under President Jacob Zuma. So we've had it now with Cyril Ramaphosa. Hey, let's give some credit here.
Can I suggest a deal for the rest of South Africa? We'll take the lower petrol price, and then Bafana can unplug from the food, and it's okay. Listen, thanks for popping. It's always good to see you. Thank you so much for visiting us, and come back soon again.
Thank you very much, Martin, and thank you to the listeners. Martin, we are in Transport Month. And I've instructed the team that we now need to be doing more than just, you know, telling people about it being Transport Month and, you know, encouraging for alternative means of transport, but also to start educating people about the safety of our transport. We cannot wait until December time when everybody's going on holiday to train our public transport operators, like your taxi drivers, your bus drivers, in terms of the safety of transporting our commuters and also commodities around. But it starts now. We need to start educating our people 24/7, 365, so that we are able to then get people, you know, safer to their destinations and back. Absolutely. So, you know, everybody that is in a car now or that is somehow being transported or transporting people, please drive safe out there. Be considerate of everybody that is around you.
Insist on safer drivers as well when it comes to public transport. Thank you so much, Mayor of Tshwane, Mr. Salim Simanga.
It's time to get up and go.
Martin
Bester on breakfast.
I
can't
name three words. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Wake up! Breakfast with Martin Bester. Giving you a fun way to wake up. Weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m. Jacaranda.